You got your Bibles with you? If you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke will be in Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, beginning in verse 20. I'll give you a minute to find it. And once you do, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's holy word, Luke 17, beginning in verse 20. Luke 17, verse 20, the Lord tells us, once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for in fact the kingdom of God is among you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will long to see one of those days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go, do not set off in pursuit. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must endure much suffering and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed all of them. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed all of them. It will be like that on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, anyone on the housetop who has belongings in the house must not come down to take them away. And likewise, anyone who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Those who try to make their life secure will lose it, but those who lose their life will keep it. I tell you, on that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding meal together. One will be taken and the other left. Then they asked him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to heed it and hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against thee, Lord. Help us to yield to it every day. And Lord, as you bid us in Revelation, those that have ears, let them listen. Help us to listen with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord, to your word. Give me the words I should preach this morning, Lord, and help us all to be prepared to meet you at moment's notice. Be prepared to serve you every day. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We come here to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20. And Christ is telling us about the kingdom of God. He says here in verse 20 of 17, again, once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming. These here, as we see, the Pharisees, they studied the Bible, the Old Testament so much, but it went right over their head. It didn't get into their heart. They didn't understand and seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he may be near. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed." They're looking for the Messiah, for the Christ to come, riding some big old horse into Jerusalem, and he'd take his sword out and defeat the Romans and just give them a new kingdom on earth. But that's not what Christ was talking about with the kingdom of God. It was a lot deeper than that, a lot more glorious than that. He says here, they're wanting to know when the kingdom was coming. And he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed." It's not physical things. He's not going to build himself a big old palace right down here below, a big old temple right here below, because we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God, as Christ said, is among us. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we need to live our lives, which is becoming of such a calling. The Bible says us, live a life worthy of the calling which we have received. We're called to be the indwelling place of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. We need to be living as if the Holy Ghost lives inside of us, showing forth the hands and feet of Jesus, being his ambassadors down here below, living as citizens and followers of the kingdom of God. He says here, when the kingdom of God was coming, the answer, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed. Verse 21, nor will they say, "Look, here it is," or "There it is." For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. I'll tell you a little bit about the kingdom of God from the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 14 and verse 17, it tells us, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink. It's not stuff that we consume down here below." We live in such a consumerist society. What can I get? More and more and more. But that's not what the kingdom of God's like. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. When God's people are living in His righteousness, living in His holiness, we're living as kingdom people. The kingdom of God is present among God's children down here below when we follow Him, but righteousness, it says, not only that, and peace, the peace of the Lord that passeth all understanding. Peace be still that Christ gives us, righteousness and peace. And it says there, in the joy in the Holy Spirit, the joy of the Lord is our strength, the Bible says. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're going to live in the joy of the Lord, we're going to be living in righteousness, and then we can have the peace of God. In fact, the kingdom of God is among you, he says. Let's live as kingdom people. Down here below, a lot of people's waiting on the kingdom to come down, waiting on Christ to reign. They'll say, Christ didn't reign right now. He'll reign in 1,000 years down the road. That's not the case. Christ is reigning right here below. He conquered the devil on the cross, and when he rose again on the third day, Jesus reigns now. Right now, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We read, there is, for in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. We're not waiting for Christ to rule. We're living in his kingdom. The beginning of it now, and when he comes again out of the eastern sky, time will be no more, and the kingdom will be consummated on earth. Heaven and earth will pass away, and we'll all live together as one big reunion. One big of all of God's children. The kingdom of God is among you. Don't wait till then to be close to God. Let's follow him right now. He said there in verse 22, then he said to the disciples, the days are coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, look there, or look here. Do not go, do not set off in pursuit. A lot of liars down through the ages, they say, the Lord's going to come back in 1897, some of them said. The Lord's going to come back in 2000-something. They all gone down the road saying, well, I know when he's going to come back. Never happened. Never went through. They said, look here or look there. They put up billboards. I remember when I was in elementary school down there in Cleveland, I saw billboards. They said, Jesus is coming back next week. You better get ready. They didn't know it. It never happened because who knows? Only our Father up in heaven. He says here, then he said to the disciples, the days are coming when you long to see one of the days of the Son of Man. If you'll read about the New Testament church back there in the book of Acts, they long to see the Lord come back. They're being persecuted. They're being dragged out in the streets by the Romans and killed, by the Jewish folks and killed. They long to see the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. He says, they will say to you, look there, look here. Do not go, do not set off in pursuit. There's those fake people back then that was trying to deceive, and the devil's still working today to try to deceive us. Don't be deceived. Stay in the Word. Stay with Jesus. Stay by God the Father. In verse 24, for as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. It's not going to be any secret when Jesus comes back. Every eye shall behold him, the Bible says. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. It says all those that travailed against him shall weep because of him. It's going to be no secret when the Lord comes back. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. What a glorious day that's going to be. Why does he tarry? Why does he wait? He waits out of love. If he came back before the day I was saved, I would have went to hell. Same with each and every one of us. He waits. He tarries out of love. Hard for us to see that sometime. It's an amazing thing that he loves me. He loves you. He loved old Moses and Paul and John and Luke just as much as he loves everybody in the whole world, because Christ died for all people. What a wonderful thing. We can't understand the love of God, how deep, how wide that is, of ocean of his mercy. Always go to him with your sins. Always go to him with your problems. What is a whole handful of sand? When you throw it in the ocean, it just disappears. Our sins are like that. When we come to God in faith and repentance, they're disappeared in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Don't run from him, run to him. One of these days, we'll all be with him. For as lightning flashes and lights up the sky, notice here's light. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He's the light of the world. He tells us that we're to be the light of the world. We're to reflect his light. Notice here, when he comes back, it's not going to be a dark and gloomsome event. There's going to be light everywhere, just as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other. It's amazing. If you ever saw some of them pictures when they take right when the lightning strikes, it lights up the whole entire sky. It's beautiful. So too, when Jesus comes, there won't be any darkness anymore. As Revelation 21 tells us, darkness will be gone. Heaven and earth will pass away. There'll be no weeping nor pining there, no darkness. There'll be no need of a sun, for the Lord himself will be our light. He says here, let's live in the light now, brothers and sisters. Let's live in the kingdom now. He says here, from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day when he comes back, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. It says dreadful so often in the Bible. Why is that? He told the Jewish people in the minor prophets, he said, don't be saying, day of the Lord, day of the Lord, because you're living so wicked, you don't wish for the day of the Lord. Are we as a church ready for the day of the Lord? Or is God going to say the same exact thing to us he told the Jewish folk in the Old Testament? Don't be praying for the day of the Lord, because you won't make it when that day comes. Are we going to live a life of holiness and righteousness? Without holiness, no man or woman can see God, Hebrews tells us. How do we receive holiness? It's not by might nor by strength, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. It's by faith in him, by giving up ourselves, laying down ourselves, taking up our cross daily, and serving the Lord, putting our faith in him. It's going to be a glorious day for those that's ready. But so often, God's children are not ready. The Bible tells us in Revelation to be careful. He told the churches in Revelation to be careful, lest he jerk the candle out from them. He'll remove their candle. Brothers and sisters, let's live in the light of God. Let's not let our little candle, these candles are beautiful, they're shining pretty bright this morning. But if I start messing with that flame, it's going to start flickering. I'm going to start quenching it. So too the Holy Ghost in our lives. The Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit, wherein we are sealed unto redemption. We need to live for the Lord, not be quenching the Holy Ghost in our lives. Let our light shine, as Jesus said. If I throw a towel over that thing, it's going to start snuffing it out. So too, if we start laying sins upon sins, or even our own righteousness, which the Bible says is filthy rags. If I take a filthy rag and lay over that candle, it's going to snuff it out. So too, if we start trying to live on our own without the Lord, trying to do good on our own without him, it's going to snuff out the Holy Spirit. We've got to rely on him, put our faith in him. He says here, so will the Son of Man be in his day. In verse 25, but first he must endure. First, before Jesus comes back, first he must endure much suffering and be rejected by this generation. That happened. He was rejected, wasn't he? So often in his own hometown of Nazareth, he was rejected. Why didn't he do many miracles there? It says he saved he healed a few sick folk and did not many miracles because they did not have faith, because they rejected him. But first he must endure much suffering. Jesus endured the greatest suffering, more suffering we can imagine, on the cross. A lot of people didn't even survive half a way up to the cross. People died carrying it up to the hill, but he did the whole thing. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He took his sin, my sin, your sin, put it on himself, and gave us his righteousness. We ought not to take that light. We have these beautiful crosses everywhere, and what reminders they are of God's love for us. We need to remember that's where God meets humanity. It's at the cross. And when he rose again, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. First, he must endure much suffering. He did. He suffered for me. He suffered for you. So we don't have to suffer. But he gives us the choice, the free choice. If Jesus never died on the cross, we wouldn't have a choice. We'd all be burning in hell eventually. But Jesus, out of love, came down and died for us. He took our sins. He took the punishment for our sins. He took the wrath that had to be done. God can't just wink at sin. He's a holy, mighty God. He's righteousness. He is truth. He can't just look at sin and say, it'd be all right, buddy. It had to be dealt with, and Jesus dealt with it for us. Don't reject him. He says here, first he must endure much suffering and be rejected by this generation. Lord help. That generation, so many rejected him. Today it's the very same thing. People's rejecting Jesus. Many people, just as back in those days, will only give lip service to the Lord. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Isaiah said that in his day. Jesus quoted that in his day, and it's true to this very day. Do you truly love the Lord? Have you truly submitted to him? He said they were rejected by that generation. He's rejected by this one and the next one so often. But his arms of love are always open. He'll never reject you if you'll come to him. He'll never throw you away if you'll come to him. Come to me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he says. In verse 26, just as it was in the days of Noah, so too it will be in the days of the Son of Man, when that's coming up. Notice here the days leading up to it. Go back in Genesis and you'll read about how it was, what a violent time it was. One of the worst things that was going on back those days was the violence. And it says every thought and imagination of the heart of mankind was only evil continually in Noah's days. God help us. We think it's rough now. It was rough then. It's rough like that around the world to this day. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so too it will be in the days of the Son of Man. Verse 27 says, they were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. Notice here, they were just living their lives as normal. The world kept turning around. Nothing's going to happen. Just kept on going, they thought, until the day Noah entered the ark. If you'll read back in there, as I've mentioned before, those ark doors were wide open until it says God shut them in. God closed those ark doors. It wasn't Noah. It finally came the time for them to be shut and the world to be flooded. Just as nowadays when the Son of Man comes, it's going to come that time where the door is shut, where it's too late. Jesus has already come back. There's no more time left. No more time to get right with Him. No more time to serve Him. One of these days, the door is going to shut. Jesus warns us, just as it was in the days of Noah. He says here, they were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage. Oh, the devil, he loves to distract you. He loves to get you off task. You know, he already knows his fate. The demons, when Jesus cast them out, they said, what have you to do with us, O Jesus, the Son of God? Don't you know it's not our time yet? They knew no good and well what's going to happen to them when they're cast in a lake of fire where hell itself will be thrown. The demons tremble at the name of Jesus, and they know their fate. The devil knows his fate for what he has done. That's what hell was created for, was the devil and his demons. They know their fate. The devil thinks it's a wonderful thing to drag as many of people as he can with him while he's going down there. He can't escape his fate. It's written. It's going to happen. He'd love to drag you down there with him too. Stay in the Word. Stay with Jesus. Stay in the love of God. He says here, they were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage. Just all the distractions. Everything's all right, they wanted to say. Soothe them to spiritual sleep in the darkness. Don't get used to the dark while we're down here below. But live as the light of God. Live and come together as the light of God. The closer we are to the Lord, the more light we shine. Just as if I'm standing back there with a mirror trying to reflect this light, it's not going to be much. But if I get right here close, it's going to reflect it a lot. This is a dark room, and we'll be able to shine a whole lot of light around if we'll stay close to Jesus and not snuff out our candles. He says here, they were eating and drinking, just filling themselves, all about what the body can do, what they can do for themselves, and for lustful indulgence. They were eating and drinking, they were marrying and being given in marriage. Even at that, those are just normal activities here below. They're too focused on that instead of serving the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness, the Bible says, and come before His presence with singing. Come to Him every day, He says here, until the day of Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed all of them. This wasn't some localized flood, as some people say. This didn't just happen in a little valley and near Jerusalem. This was a worldwide event. Just as when the Son of Man comes, this will be a worldwide event. They entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed all of them. I don't want to be destroyed. I want to live with Jesus for all eternity. That ought to be our goal, is to live with Jesus. Right here, right now, he says here, likewise in verse 28, just as it was in the days of Lot. Now we remember Sodom and Gomorrah. He says here, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planning and building. This year, it was in the days of Lot. He pitched his tent near Sodom because him and Abraham couldn't get along. And where did it end up? Careful where you go, brothers and sisters. Careful what you allow in your lives and entertain. It'll suck you away, just as old Lot. He was fine. Then he started pitching his tent near Sodom. What happened? He ended up rising to power and being one of the ones that sat in the city gate in Sodom, the Bible tells us. Be careful what you allow in your lives. The devil loves to soothe you away from the Lord with the sound of the world. He says here, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating. They were drinking, just like in the days of Noah, they was eating and drinking. That says here, in the days of Lot, they were buying and selling, planting, and they were even building. They're just going on life even more normal. Planting, selling. When you plant something, you're not fixing to leave because you're expecting the harvest. You're going to wait around for it. When you build something, if I'm not going to be here much longer, I'm not going to bother building a building. They're getting set in their ways, set down here below, planting and building. Verse 29, but on the day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed all of them. God would have allowed them to. It's a very sad story when we go back in Genesis and read about Sodom and Gomorrah, just the wickedness and depravity of that city. God help us. Trying to assault the angels. And Lot himself, instead of them assaulting the angels, he pushed his own daughters out the door and said, have at it with them, brothers and sisters. Be careful what you allow in your life, because it'll suck you in to the world, just like old Lot got sucked into the ways of Sodom. If you live in Egypt long enough, you're going to become halfway Egyptian. Keep the ways of sin out of our lives. We're just traveling through this world. We do it by the blood of Jesus, by faith and repentance. We remember from the days of Noah and the days of Lot, not to get sucked into these ways, but live as risen people, live as free people, live as God's people, living as citizens of His kingdom. You know, I'm wonderfully thankful to be a citizen of the United States of America, this grand nation we live here below. I'm sure people in other countries are thankful to live where they do. Glory to God for that. We're blessed to live here. But in the end of the days, when I breathe my last breath, I won't breathe it as an American. I'll be passing on. I'll be breathing it as a child of God in the New Jerusalem. We're blessed to live in this great nation down here below, but it's only temporary. We need to live like this is just temporary. Live right here below and seek the ways of God down here below. Seek it. God above all other things. Not get distracted by this and that. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He says here, left Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed all of them. Every single one of them was destroyed except Lot and them that left with the angels. It will be like that on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Notice that fire and sulfur, that's how it's going to be. Peter tells us that everything will be melted, even the very elements. It will be like that on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. In verse 31, on that day, anyone on the housetop who belongs in the house must not come down to take them away. And likewise, anyone in the field must not turn back. We're not going to have time to fiddle around. Jesus is coming back. Just as the lightning, he said, lights up the sky from one side to the other, so the Son of Man will be in his day. Lightning doesn't turn on and just sit there for 20 minutes waiting on you. It's flash. When Jesus comes back, time will be no more. He says here, on that day, anyone on the housetop who has belongings in the house must not come down to take them away. And likewise, anyone in the field must not turn back. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. What happened to her? She turned back at Sodom and she turned into a pillar of salt. She was no more because she turned back. She couldn't listen. She couldn't just give it up. I saw in the antique store one time little salt and pepper shakers. One was Lot, one was Lot's wife. We know which one was the salt. That was old Lot's wife. She refused to follow the Lord. She turned back and turned into that pillar of salt. As you see them pillars to this day in that area. Lord, help us. Don't turn back to perdition. Don't turn back looking at the ways of the world. Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When we turn back, we start turning back towards it. Turn to Jesus. Follow Him. He says here in verse 33, those who try to make their life secure will lose it. But those who lose their life will keep it. If you're trying to make your life secure, just as they did in Sodom. Though they're building everything was fine. Days of Noah, they're doing everything was fine, they thought. But it wasn't. The truth of the matter is, it wasn't. Those who try to make their life secure will lose it. If you're trying to make your life secure down here below, in this world, with money, with physical things, with all these different things, people, filling the voids in your heart with the lust of the flesh and with anything, it will never work. You can't live your life secure. I can't keep myself secure. It's only by Jesus. He says here, but those who lose their life will keep it. If we give ourselves up and seek the Lord while He may be found, if we'll give up ourselves, lay us aside, die to ourselves daily, the Bible tells us, not just once down the road, but daily. He says here, those who lose their life will keep it. If you give it up, you'll keep it. Well, if you keep yourself in control, what happens when we run the ship? We run it aground every time. We bust a hole in it and it starts to sink. We make shipwreck of our salvation if we take over. But if we follow the Lord and let Him lead us, we'll be smooth sailing. We'll be following Him. He can say, peace be still to the storms. We'll have those storms, but God's right there in the boat. What happened when Jesus was with Him and there was a storm brewing and the disciples were scared because all the mighty waves, Jesus was laying in the back of the boat asleep. He told it, peace be still. And He rebuked them, little faith. We ought to be trusting the Lord no matter what comes in our lives, letting Him guide us, not making shipwreck, because He won't. We will if we get in the way. But let Him lead us. Lead us by the Word of God. How many of our problems could be solved if we just pick up the Word of God and read it and study it? The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. We want to live as approved people. We study the Bible and seek His ways. The Holy Ghost is with us. It's not just some book for us to read on and not understand anything about it and take a test on it. No, it's the Word of God. It ought to be one of our most prized possessions is the Word of God. He says here, I tell you, on that night, in verse 34, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. And there will be two women grinding a meal together. One will be taken and the other left. One will be taken, the other left. One will be taken, the other left. Notice here, and two is in the bed. It's husband and wife. You can't ride to heaven on your spouse's salvation. You can't ride to heaven on your daddy's salvation or somebody else's salvation. You must have a personal relationship. You must be born again, the Bible tells us. There will be two women grinding meal together. One will be taken, the other left. It's an individual thing. Ask in your heart right now, in your mind, do you know the Lord as Savior? Are you dying to Him daily? Or are you running the show in your life? This is God's world. He created it. Who's running your life right now? If it's you, you'll be left, it says. And they asked Him, where, Lord? He says to them, where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Instead of telling Him the exact physical point, what's He say? Where, Lord? They're asking where. He said to them, where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. There's no escaping. There's no escaping the day of the Lord. But we as God's people need to heed what Christ is telling us here. It's going to come. It's going to be a physical event. Jesus is going to come back out of the eastern sky. It'll be a lightful event, a glorious event for those that's ready to meet Him. They won't be coming back to the house to pick up your stuff. It's too late. It's coming like a flash of lightning. There's not going to be any time to go holler at somebody and say, Jesus is coming back, better get ready. It's too late. It's a flash of lightning. So right here, right now, the only time I'm guaranteed, the only time you're guaranteed, the only time anyone's guaranteed is right now, the time we've got. What is life? It is even a vapor, the Bible tells us in James, which is appeareth for a moment. What's a vapor do? We see that beautiful fog sometimes. It's there. It looks real thick. But about 10 minutes, that sun hits it, it's gone. So too is our life. We don't know when it'll come or when it'll go. One of these days, each and every one of us will pass on. If we don't, it's because the Lord Jesus came back. And then this life down here is below any gone anyways. One of these days, life in this world is going to come to a close, whether it's by death or by Christ coming back. Are you prepared to meet the Lord? Are you ready for this great and glorious day? Or will it be a great and dreadful day, as He told the backslidden children of Israel that refused to follow Him? Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, He answered, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is among us right now. We're gathered here together as God's children on the Lord's day in the assembling together of the saints. He's with us right now. When we go out here and live for the Lord, what is the kingdom? It's righteousness, He says, and peace. When we're living for the Lord, there's the kingdom of God among us right there. When we're living with the peace of God, the kingdom of God is with us. Right there, it's righteousness and peace, the Bible tells us, by living in the love of God. And if we're living as the kingdom of God, we're living in the kingdom right here below. When Jesus comes back and time is no more, it'll be a seamless transition to Him. It'll be a seamless transition to glory. Are you prepared? Everybody, bow your heads. I want to ask you, are you living as a kingdom people? Or are you living as a worldly person? Those who seek to save their life will lose it. Those who give it up. Those who are born again. Those who pick up their cross daily, dying daily to themselves, receive that eternal life. Take a moment and reflect on it in your life right now. How is your life? How is your heart? How is your mind? What's everything focused on? Is it Jesus or something different? So take a moment. Pray to the Lord. His throne room of grace is open. The doors of the ark are still open. There's still time. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much, Lord, for your kingdom. As we prayed earlier, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help us to live as your people. Help us to live as risen people, Lord. And be instruments in your hands, Lord, to live in your love, that we may be bringing in your kingdom here on earth by showing your love to you and to those around us, Father. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people that's gathered here this morning. May each and every one of their cups overflow with the power of the Holy Spirit. Every day may we do that, Lord. May our cup overflow. Keep us in the love of God, Lord, your love, and your righteousness, and your peace. Keep us safe, and most of all, above all things, in thy perfect will, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The summation of the law, Jesus says, is to love God first, and then love our neighbor next. Let's live that every day in the name of Jesus. Will you stand with me? Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face shine upon you, and give you peace, now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen.